Podcasting 2.0 for September 10th, 2021, episode number 53. We're fully tagged and noted. That's with a D. Hello, everybody. It's Friday once again. Time for the board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. Everything happening at podcastindex.org. All about the namespace and, of course, the gossip and the chatter from podcastindex.social. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of Hill Country, Texas, and in Alabama, the man whose lightning channels are always balanced, my friend on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Jones.
You're going to have to bring back, remember the podcast license? Remember that? Podcaster license?
Yeah, podcastlicense.com. Yes, I recall. Yeah. I recall. Yeah. I think it, let me see if it still exists.
Podcast. You're gonna have to bring that back. We gotta regulate podcasting.
Okay. We're going there, are we? Yes. Yeah, right. Podcastlicense.com. Oh, okay. Yeah, it sounds like it. There's this little thing that was created 20 years ago, really, probably a little bit longer than that, RSS. I'm thinking it's very analogous to Bitcoin. It was designed to be attacked. And like Honey Badger, it don't give a shit.
is that the masthead on podcastlicense.com?
Yes, yes. Honey Badger don't give a shit.
it's so much more appropriate for this show than it was for No Agenda. We are the Podcasting 2.0 show, mm-hmm. So we can give out licenses. Slide us a donation. We'll give you one.
The thing is, I'm afraid, I have a feeling that podcastlicense.com, that I don't own it.
Oh, really?
I don't think so. Let me see.
Oh, was that a producer thing?
Yeah, and I think the forward may have stopped. Let me see. Who is podcastlicense.com? Let me see if I can find it.
Was it $33 to get a podcast? Was that what it was?
Yeah, or it was $11.11 or something like that. Let me see. Podcastlicense.com. It's private.
Yeah, I mean, this was what, 10 years ago? This
oh, at least, ago. Yeah. Yeah. Let me just check, because if I have it...
The whole idea is, I mean, you can issue podcast licenses because you are the creator of podcasting.
Yes, so I have this power. Yes, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The regulator. I got to find out who has it and see, because it seems like it's not working anymore. Oh, wait, podcastlicense.com. Is this, do I own it?
You did all that through the world outline.
Yeah. If I remember yes. Correctly. That's why it no longer works. Hey, guess what? I do own it.
Oh,
well, this is good news. Okay.
Yay.
All right. All right. Hey, let's do something with that. Let's issue licenses. Why would we want to issue licenses, Dave?
Because the podcast infrastructure is a rogue entity that is going off the rails with misinformation. It needs to be stopped. It's ridiculous.
Would you like to elaborate?
Oh, yeah. Specifically, where's my...
Did you bring clips?
Oh, well, I mean, I didn't bring clips necessarily. I can make these clips be anything we need them to be.
Oh, okay. You just have a bundle of clips that you carry around in your knapsack whenever you need to do a podcast.
Yeah, they're like clay. Just mold them into whatever.
Oh, now you know the exact secret of the No Agenda show. Just get a bunch of clips and mold them into a product. Yes.
Oh, are we talking misinformation in podcasting? Play ISO More Lies.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
More lies on our TV.
Yes. I thought that was a pretty good one.
Yes, more lies on our TV. Yes, yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's not a perfect mold, but it fits. No, this is talking about the article, or I guess blog post, or I don't know, what do you want to call it, research project from the lady at the Brookings Institution.
Oh, yes. Yeah, this was a very interesting paper.
Yeah. The challenge of detecting misinformation in podcasting. And I guess I got a lot to say about this, but the first thing that kind of stood out to me about this article, and I want to, as a licensed linguistic analysis, what would you be? You in NLP, as a licensed NLP investigator,
mm-hmm.
I would like to get your take on, instead of using misinformation, she uses the term potentially false information.
Oh, potentially false information.
Yes, which to me is all information.
yeah, because even the truth can be your lying eyes, right? You know, blue dress, white dress.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to go full Cartesian and just say, you know, I think, therefore I am.
Let me just set this up because I read this, of course. This came out a few weeks ago, and we're talking about it because it was discussed on Podland with an interview with the woman. And
I had already marked up this document a week ago.
Okay. Yeah, I discussed it on No Agenda briefly. And
did you?
Okay. Yeah, well, so there is one takeaway from that discussion. Is she is an adjunct professor, or she's going for her not adjunct, she's going for her thesis. This I think this is her thesis.
Yeah, it seems like it.
And I think it's very smart of her to, you know, she's doing interviews, she's got traction, people are interested in this, which she now, from what I understand, is going to turn into a much larger study across 26,000 episodes of podcasts. So she's really fundraising for it because that's how it works at places like the Brookings Institution, whether it's outside funding. Yeah, it's a think tank, of course. I can't wait to see what she comes up with.
Well, I mean, I just took a few notes out of this thing, but she says approximately 1/10 include potentially false information. There's that phrase.
Mm-hmm.
1/10. How about way too low?
That 1/10.
About like 90.
Yeah, 90. Exactly. Hello. Yes, it's people yapping. What do you expect? Yeah. Of course.
I mean, we used to call potentially false information. What we used to call that was opinions. Like that we're putting new words on, you know, yeah, on
very,
things.
Very good analysis right there, Dave Jones. Yep. You're right.
Well, I mean, so as she says here, given the wide and growing reach of podcasts, as well as their potential for spreading misinformation, oh, she used misinformation that time instead of potentially false information, why has this space largely escaped content moderation debates? Well, I think it's because, I'm just going to play this straight, I think it's because people understand that these are conversations, and when you have conversations with people, people give opinions.
Ooh, can I stop you right there? Because I see this a little differently. Why is there no debate about this potentially false information? Because you can't comment on episodes of podcasts. That's why there's no debate.
Well, that's one of her core things with mm-hmm. this. I mean, she's hammering this over and over.
Mm-hmm.
She says later that that's like, see.
And I'm in agreement on that part. It's like, yeah, we need comments. It's great to have people debate about an episode of a podcast. I love seeing that.
She says, reducing, anyone can publish content, but the audience cannot respond directly to it, reducing the ability of the crowd to fact check information like they might on Twitter. So she's big into having people comment and do reviews, which I'm like you, I'm fine with. I mean, yeah, we're creating a namespace.
Yes. Please raise some money to fund that work. That would be fantastic.
I mean, if the Brookings Institution needs our PayPal URL, I can give it to them. You know,
it's in the funding tag. It's right there in the fund. Or, you know, if you have a comment about something,
boost!
We have created a mechanism that allows for commenting. So we're getting towards the Brookings dream.
Yeah, they're called boostergrams, and you can use them right now. But she says there's no immediate, unlike social media platforms, there's no immediate potential for public debate. And so that made me think of, and this will resonate with you, the old, you know, Dave Weiner, whenever he would post blogs on his, articles on his blog, he would... And somebody got into the comments and started, you know, rambling on some huge, like 10 paragraph thing. His response would always be,
turn it off.
Start your own blog.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
He's like, this is not a comment. Yeah. This is a blog post. Go buy a blog and post this on your own blog.
And I'll link to it.
Drop a link.
Yeah. And I'll link to it. Yeah.
Well, that's the comment here. If you have a problem with a potentially false information on another podcast, go start a podcast and talk about that other podcast, play clips, talk about how wrong it is, give your opinion to counter their opinion. It's the way the internet works.
It's actually the way people are used to working. It's the way things at the core work in society. It's like, I have an opinion. I disagree. Someone else can say, hey, he said this. And you know, it's called discourse. It's called intellectual intercourse.
Yes, that's exactly what it's called. This she says, this makes podcasting an ideal tool to inject false or misleading information into mainstream discourse while going undetected.
Yeah, see, this is where it goes off the rails for me. Because there's a big difference between, as you say, potentially false statements or opinions and malicious, because that she goes, the step is quick. It went from, hey, potentially false information to maliciously placed false information. That's different.
Yeah. Injected is her
injected is her even. Phrase. Yes. Injected.
And it's, to me, I mean, do you want to hear? You want to hear where there's a whole bunch of injected misinformation and misleading information?
Sure.
Church. The hallway at work. The lunchroom at work. The sidewalk when you're talking to your neighbor. All of these places that you have conversations, all of them are full of all kinds of potentially false information. Because people are full of potentially false information. It's the way people work, and this type of thinking of that we can go out and eradicate every source of, and I think this is clear. It's by potentially false information or misinformation, the mind goes to, it's not science. Science is. I mean, it's not scientific. It's not fact. It's not physical, verifiable, falsifiable fact. Well, that's not how the world works. The world's full of people. People are squishy. People have opinions. And if you, this idea that we can control that, that we can go out and just eradicate every instance of misinformation in the broader world, there's much more misinformation happening in lunchrooms and break rooms at work than there is in podcasting by a factor of a million. But the idea that we can go out and stop that is absurd. And if it doesn't feel absurd to you, then it borderlines on scary.
I'll break my opinion up into two pieces because I actually had a true American experience, which I want to talk about in a moment. But this paper, which I'd kind of, you know, read, talked about it, dismissed, like, okay, it's not the first time I've read this about podcasting, and I know what's, you know, and again, I see these types of things, like, oh, potentially inject, like, okay, you're on a whole different trip here. But what I realized is, so I was listening to Podland, and this is, and by the way, for some reason, and this is my own personal issue. James Cridland can say things that are very triggering to me personally. I have that with almost nobody. No politicians, no one. It's like, but I don't know exactly what it is. But in this case, he and Sam were discussing this paper, and they were discussing it as if they pretty much agree with it and are all in. But they describe the problem not as potentially false information, but when a podcaster is racist or says something wrong. And it's that part, the says something wrong part, that I really want to focus on. James Cridland, you know, what he's looking for is a way to get people who say something potentially wrong out of podcasting. And I think that's good that he also sees that, well, you know, does that just drive the bad stuff underground? Well, of course it does. But let's get a little closer to the definition of saying something wrong. And racist statements, at this point, that's very subjective. What is racist or not? You know, the term has changed, but let's just focus on the something wrong. And so he's looking for where do we stop this? And he, by his own admission, has reported podcasts as saying something wrong. But it really comes down to two examples, Alex Jones and Joe Rogan. Those are the only two examples that I ever hear. I hear categories of examples, but never really anything besides that. And as I'm listening to this conversation, I realize, because these are obviously aren't bad guys, and I have compassion, by the way, for James, because I can only imagine what it's like to live in the biosecurity state of Australia, you know, and his state in Australia specifically, in Sydney, and I think that people's amygdalas are hijacked and we're on high alert and we're, you know, everyone's very, very jumpy. I probably have a version of that myself too. But everything I hear and just listening to the whole show in its context this topic in context of the whole show, this is not because they really give a shit about what Joe Rogan says. I really don't think that they care. They don't actually know because they don't listen. I've been on the show several times. I find no evidence of any of the accusations that that Joe Rogan has thrown at him. They want advertising. And this is what I realize. And subconsciously, they are so pissed off that there are these bad apples that make podcasting unadvertisable that they want those to be removed from the picture. I do not believe that deep in their hearts they hate these people or really have take some tremendous issue if you got into a conversation about it.
Hmm. I don't know. I had to ask them.
And I say that also because of the Westwood One Audioscape, who are the podcast listeners. Just think of this. Now, if you're all in on advertising and podcasting, which everybody is and has been for the past 15 years, and we've had infrastructure built out, hosting companies provide advertising, James Cridland lives on advertising, this study showed that the typical podcast listener is in the sweet spot. At 34, the median age of the podcast audience is 14 years younger than the AM/FM radio audience and much younger than broadcast television network audiences. The podcast audience profile is exceptionally attractive. Podcast listeners are upscale and educated. 53 of persons 18 plus who've listened to an audio podcast in the past 30 days are employed in a white-collar occupation. 39% hold management positions. 55% have a household income of $75,000 plus, making this group an audience and advertisers want to reach. So let me just say, after all these years of experience and having tried it myself and raised money, you are not going to get brand advertising on podcasting. And the reason is not Alex Jones or Joe Rogan. It's that brand advertisers do not advertise on content they are not intimately familiar with. They don't advertise on television shows that they don't know what the outcome will be. The only time there's ever troubles in mainstream with advertisers when something goes off script, I give you Janet Jackson wardrobe malfunction at the Super Bowl. This is how it works. Now, I had a very American experience, a true American experience, because as I'm hearing this, and I'm getting riled up because it's triggering me. I mean, I'm thinking, oh my God. And really combined with this whole thread on podcastindex.social where James was being very funny and, you know, it was the difference in language tags and everything he said was anti-American. Like, you know, oh, and, you know, when we get mad, we go shoot up the place, you know, all these like very stereotypical things, like we're dumb hicks. And then he even said himself at the end of this thread, oh, you know, I'm just, this is very racist, fun game, sorry to all. Now, my initial, and I hate to say this, but I had a moment where I thought, I'm going to call up his fucking advertisers and tell them how anti-American he is. And let's see how funny it is. And then I thought, no, that's exactly who we aren't. That's exactly who we aren't.
Yeah, well, pushback is critical, and that's why you don't censor, because even when people push back and you think they're wrong, their ability to push back is sacred. They're even if you highly disagree with it, and think that it's mean-spirited or think that it's factually incorrect or anything like that. Because that brings me back to this idea that what she said was the intimate relationship between a podcaster and her audience may mean that the audience will be more likely to believe untruth. This is completely wrong. That is incorrect. And that's something that people
need to get. Can you read that again? Can you read that line again?
The intimate relationship between a podcaster and her audience may mean that the audience will be more likely to believe untruth, to believe misinformation, because it's coming from like a quote unquote trusted source. This is completely bogus. That is not true at all. And I can prove that by my own marriage. I'm a very libertarian guy. I'm very, you know, anti-government. My wife is very liberal, Biden supporter, just absolute, very, very, on board with, a lot of liberal agendas. And, we disagree all the time. Now, you cannot be in a more intimate relationship than a marriage. But we disagree with each other at least once a day on something. And, you know, and I bring that up to say that that has been good for me over the last 6 or 7 years. It has been good for me to have that in my life because it's tempered my rhetoric and made me, listen more so that I can, it doesn't necessarily change my opinion. It does sometimes, but for the most part, what it's done is made me more careful about the things I say and more self-analyzing about why I believe the things I do and why I believe them in the way that I do. So just because I hear something from a trusted source, I could hear it on No Agenda. I trust you a lot and we have a close relationship, but just because I hear it from you doesn't mean that I'm just like, okay. I mean, we all have brains. And sometimes the most intimate relationship is the time when you push back the most on somebody. It's like that. That to me is I'm thankful for guys like James and Sam that they will do a show that makes me sharpen my own thoughts about these things.
Yeah, I think this is exactly the point I'm making about my truly American moment where I had this just total flash of clarity saying, no, I am grateful for these guys in my life. I'm truly grateful for it.
Mm-hmm. Because you resisted the urge to do the thing that's the most feral.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's canceled.
Which is cancel.
Press the delete key. Yep.
Yeah. And the other, you know, if you'll indulge me in a couple of stories here, The other thing that bothers me a lot about when this gets into the think tank realm is that really the only true final arbiter of these kinds of things is government. Because who is going to have the last word in what is acceptable speech?
Yeah, what is wrong thinking, something wrong.
It's going to be government in some shape, form, or fashion, whether it's through a network of NGO type fact checkers.
Well, no, this already happened in the United States with our so-called hate laws. Hate is not determined in U.S. code. There's no determination for it. But now we do have hate crimes, which usually infer larger penalties.
Well, in that regard, there's no definition, independent definition of what constitutes misinformation or potentially false information. There is no definition for this. So it's going to be judged by a panel that's always going to tie back to government. And this, and I want to tell this a couple of, you know, personal things here. Part of the reason that I think the way I do about government and about censorship and about these things, specifically government, goes back to the first 6 months of my marriage, 22 years ago. We were dirt poor. We could barely put food on the table. We had to have my my in-laws buy us groceries, you know, two or three times within the first 6 months of our marriage. We were dead broke. And I was working my butt off. And my wife, our tag expired on our car on like towards the end of the month, our license plate. And it was like $150 to do the license plate. And so it's getting towards the end of the month. And I'm like, okay, if we can just make it to the next month where my next paycheck, then I'll go down, I'll take care of this. And I'm like 23 years old. Melissa calls me at work. She's crying. She got pulled over and got a ticket from the cop for having an expired license plate. And the ticket was like almost $300. And she's like, I know we can't afford, I don't know what we're going to do. I'm going to get my life. If we can't pay this, I'm getting my license taken away. And she said, I begged the police officer not to give me a ticket. I told him we were going to renew the license plate next week. And he said, I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm just doing my job. That experience of coming face to face with government and being told, we don't care. The government doesn't care about you as an individual. We care about you as a number. That experience really changed me for the rest of my life. That shows the Kafkaesque face of government and really lays bare what it is. Now you jump and you know you jump forward to today, and as of yesterday, I'm now having a very similar experience, and this is a very personal story for me. And I'll bring this all back around here in a minute. About 6 years ago, I had a series of health problems, and they ultimately culminated in me getting a case of shingles.
Ugh.
If you don't know what shingles, I think you may remember me.
I know exactly what shingles is. Yeah. It's basically chicken pox for old people, only fucked up.
Yeah. So what chicken pox, if you had chicken pox when you were young, it never leaves your body. It stays there forever. And it stays in your spinal fluid. And under moments of a lot of stress, it's called the varicella zoster virus, and it can reactivate. And when it does, it begins to travel up your nerve endings and eventually erupts onto your skin as lesions, sort of chicken pox like lesions.
On your face, on your hands, could be anywhere, right?
Yep. Could be in your ear, on your eye. Mine was on my left flank. And so the pain comes from the slow traveling over a course of a week or so up your nerve endings up to where it eventually erupts. I got shingles and I've never been the same since. Now this is very rare. This doesn't happen to everybody. Yeah, it doesn't happen to very many people at all. But sometimes when a virus, and this is why I'm a strong believer in what's so-called long COVID or COVID long haulers, because I live this on a daily basis. Once a virus gets reactivated in your system, sometimes what can happen, whether it's Epstein-Barr or varicella zoster or coronavirus or any of these viruses, sometimes what can happen is it freaks your immune system out so bad that what happens is your immune system turns on and it never really turns off again. And what makes you feel like shit when you're sick is not necessarily the virus, it's your immune system is what makes you feel so bad. Your own immune system begins to secrete all kinds of chemicals, and it changes your body chemistry, and it makes you feel terrible. And I go through this, and so essentially my immune system is always on too high of an alert. And if slight things that I do in my daily life will plunge me into feeling terrible, like I've almost got the flu, and it could last 2-3 days, it could last a week or more.
Like atmospheric stuff as well? Smog?
Yes. Mm. A little bit of humid atmosphere causes some mold or something. Boom. Something I eat, boom. I mean, and I deal with this on every, at least every couple of weeks. And I've dealt with it for so long, for so many years now, that I hide it really well. And you wouldn't know it from talking to me most of the time. But that's one of the reasons why I'm so skinny. I can't gain weight. My immune system is constantly attacking.
Oh, man. I thought you were on crack, so at least I'm happy about that.
But the crack is just for fun and entertainment. Yeah. So yesterday, Joe Biden, our illustrious president, announces that he's going to force every employee working at a company with 100 or that has at least 100 or more employees to either be vaccinated or fired. So I've already had COVID. I've recovered from COVID. I have natural immunity and antibodies, which the CDC has in their latest study that was published on September 2nd says verbatim that recovered COVID patients have at least as good protection, if not greater, than the vaccine. But what I'm being told now is that I have to get vaccinated, and this vaccine is designed to jack up your immune system to make your immune system go nuts for a little while so that it trains your immune system on the coronavirus. You can imagine my fear of injecting something into my body that's going to make my immune system go nuts. I'm not doing that. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. It's not scientific for me, my personal body, my situation. It's not scientific in any way. And no doctor can guarantee me that I'm not going to end up bedridden in the process.
And so by the nature of us even discussing this, this would be wrong thinking and counter to the, it could in fact be potentially false information.
Sure. And so what I'm saying, you know, and I'm going to bring this back. And the reason I'm saying all these things is to say that what my government told me yesterday was, we don't care about you and we don't care about Dave. We only care about a number on a spreadsheet. And you're going to do what we say, or we're going to make sure that we get you fired from your job. To hell with the science, to hell with your life and your loved ones and you. We only care about numbers on a spreadsheet. That is the way government looks at everything, because government is not a scalpel that does surgical precision. Government is a club that bludgeons things to get it to conform to its will. And that is not what we want regulating the speech or anything else in our society. Those are the two most concrete examples that I can give of the danger of allowing government to dictate not just speech, but anything in society in a technocracy style fashion. It's not okay. I don't support it. And anything that claims to do that ultimately will have one of those results. It will create harm where there was no harm before.
Right.
That's when I hear things like, we need to rethink the entire infrastructure, which is one of the things she said. We need to rebuild this entire infrastructure to make in moderation.
All that was missing from that was, and we need to do it in JSON.
Most of the smaller players in the field lack the financial resources to carry out extensive content moderation and look to larger companies like Apple and Spotify to determine what should be removed. And so there you just go right back up the chain. You say, okay, we're going to go to Apple or Google or Facebook and let them make those decisions, because smaller companies can't make those decisions, although they don't have the financial resources to do it. Well, those aren't private companies making those decisions. Those are Google, Apple, Facebook. These are companies that are now in the crosshairs of the Justice Department and Congress for being under monopoly suspicion. They are not independent actors making decisions on their own anymore. They are being constantly pressured by the government to do things that the government wants, because that's how they're going to keep from being regulated. That's what I mean when I say all this ultimately ends up with government, because you can push it up and say, and you hear all this Section 230 guys on social media, they're like, you know, this is not government censoring your speech. These are private companies. They can do whatever they want. Well, yeah, they're private companies that are also getting calls from the White House on a consistent basis from the executive branch of the government.
No, they're being threatened. They're being threatened by legislation. It is it is a textbook definition of infringing on free speech. Yeah. The government,
coercion.
For everyone to understand, the United States Constitution, particularly the Bill of Rights, it is, if you look at the amendments, it is not rights given to the American people. This document, please read it. It's very, very small. Every single one of these amendments starts with the government shall not. The government has no right. The government cannot. It's a guideline for what the government cannot do. Now, when it gets to free speech, we argue over words like infringe. Or, you know, this First and Second Amendment, actually. So these are, you know, now we're, and by the way, we're very good at changing the meaning of words throughout history and language, etc. But before anything, Dave, thank you very much for sharing those stories. You've never shared those with me. I think that was, I appreciate that a lot. And here, hold on, let me spark up the bong for you. I need some. I need just. Yes, much better.
It's a small room. It's full of smoke in here.
And may I comment on your drywall sounding particularly nice today?
No, sorry about that.
No.
It's very bouncy in here.
It is a bit bouncy. So bottom line, the takeaway for me personally is I'm super happy that I have the community around me and the upbringing and the values that do not make me want to eliminate people who irk me or trigger me or disagree or whatever.
It's critical to have pushback.
Yes, it is.
It's important. It's important, even if it's wrong.
And there's also a time when you just need to ignore. I mean, I've gotten very good at this in the past. I think ever since I was 50, I really, you know, it's been 7 years for me since I got my shit together as a person and some therapy. It's like there's a lot to just ignore. There's a lot of trolls, a lot of people who say shit, particularly on social media. And the best policy is just, oh, okay. And I catch myself a lot writing a reply, deleting before I even post it. Like, okay, yeah. I'm done. All right. That's dumb. And just get out of my system. And then we're back to normal.
Sometimes writing it is all you got to do.
Yeah.
You have to put, posting is like, you write it and then you hit delete.
But let's just make sure that no one who is out there yelling about podcasts, has any more authority with what is correct or incorrect medical, information or scientific information. If you want to, even mathematics is disagreed upon, and I believe in math, you know, the numbers add up and you can, I think that's proof. Math to me is usually proof. Even that is disputed. Look at, Saifedean Ammous and, the Black Swan guy. I mean, they disagree on the mathematics of an economical equation, which, you know, and they're arguing literally over equations.
Yeah.
Well, you know, so even that isn't sacred anymore.
Well, I mean, think about
Taleb is her, his name. Taleb.
That guy. Her, let's see, one of her last paragraphs here, it says, as a first step, it is critical to understand the scope of this problem in order to identify appropriate policy solutions to address the spread of misinformation. That's why I said it all ends up back at government. You know, it doesn't matter what you're disagreeing on. Everybody, you ultimately always end up back with the ones with the people who have the guns, because that's, you know, that's where the buck stops. And so that tells you ultimately, okay, let's talk. We're ultimately going to bring this back to government. And I mean, just off, like, does anybody remember the babies in incubators from Kuwait, Gulf of Tonkin? I mean, Syria, all the Syrian gas attacks that turned out to be bullshit, Saddam's weapons of mass destruction, it's Tuskegee experiments, MK Ultra. I mean, like, they're the list of, and I'll say this, I'm getting riled up again. Sorry. I will say this though, the idea that your government will not lie to you is racist.
Yeah, that's, for sure. For sure.
Because it's only those other governments. It's only China that would lie. It's only the third world countries, the, you know, quote unquote third world countries. Only they would lie to their people. Our good white, you know, Western governments would not. They wouldn't do such a thing. No. Well, I mean, if you live in that world, that's great. You know, great for you. You must live in Narnia or something, because out here in the real world, where actual people exist, governments lie to us all the time. You know, at least the United States does.
So, to bottom line this for Podcast Index, and yeah, thank
bring
you.
Bring this around. I'm going to go off the rails.
Yeah, again. Thank you. The board appreciates your updates, your personal updates, Dave. It's very nice to know about your medical history and your marriage and all, but, you know.
Yeah, sure.
To bring that around, Podcast Index, and honestly, at the urging of people like James, we softened our mission statement. And really out of consideration for people with other opinions, even though the opinion of, you know, freedom of speech is, and it is very American. So there is, you know, there's that. So we softened.
And I don't regret that.
Either. No, I don't regret it either, but I just want you to know, we softened it to the Podcast Index is here to preserve, protect, and extend the open, independent podcasting ecosystem. Mm-hmm. That's the top line. There's a second one there. So we softened that. But make no mistake, we're a list of links, and we're not going to take anything out for any reason, except I know that you have removed illegal links to illegal content.
Yes.
I mean, that I don't think anyone, there's no, just no disagreement with that. And in fact, that is also protected under Section 230 if you want to play it by the law. Mm-hmm. But just as I can go to podnews.net/search and search for X22 report and receive the podcast results, InfoWars, the Alex Jones show, it's all there. So I would appreciate if other people from other countries might look at their own shit first. If you have a problem, lead by example. Mm. You know, and that's the beauty of what we're doing, is we are not presenting anything in any manner other than here's a list of links. You know, we're not surfacing show notes. And if there's something that we don't, that is illegal, like a image, could be incest image or whatever you've deleted, yeah, then that has to go. That's a legal issue.
Yeah. And there's
everything else is just opinion, and get over yourself.
And we also don't highlight things or feature things.
Exactly.
Either.
We have no editorial.
Yeah. Like, there's no way you can't ask us to be featured on a search popularity rank or something. It's just not, that's not the way we do things.
But it is a feature of certainly now, where everybody's, and I had a conversation with Scott Adams about this, who says he's a trained hypnotist. I have no reason to doubt him.
you think that now.
Yeah, exactly. After you hypnotize me. But he also says, no, the state of the world today, our fight or flight mechanism controlled by our amygdala is in state of high alert continuously. All of us have it.
I believe that 100%.
And so when you get those feelings, fight or flight, that's not your rational brain talking. And stopping yourself right then and there is very, very, very difficult. It's very hard. But if we want to get anywhere, you know, look, there was a time, I won't even go into it. I'm not here to give history lessons.
You don't want to give your personal medical history and marriage history here?
Oh my goodness.
Everybody's doing it.
Oh my goodness. Well, it was interesting. The only thing that hit for me, you know, I've tried to hide my Tourette's all my life. And when you said, you know, I'm very good at hiding, hiding your medical issues. I really identified with that. It's tiring. It's tiring to cover it up or hide it or whatever, or not, you know, not show it to the outside world that you got some shit going on.
Well, because you're also nervous too. You're like, am I going to lose my job if they're worried about my health or something like that?
I mean, exactly. I was a guy on television with tics. This is not necessarily a good thing for TV. People get distracted by it.
And that's what, like, my official diagnosis is CFS, as chronic fatigue syndrome. Oh, yeah. And it's just a diagnosis of exclusion. It's like, we don't know what's going on with you. But you'll be surprised at how difficult it is to get that diagnosis, because that diagnosis is tied to disability, mm-hmm. Social Security. Mm. And even though I've never done that, those are very closely guarded diagnoses. And I actually had to, me and Melissa went, we spent $10,000 to go to California and see a specialist. One part of the many thousands of dollars we spent over the last 6 years on my condition. And we saw a guy, Dr. Kaufman, out there, who is like a world, you know, he's an infectious disease specialist. And so he gave me that diagnosis. Well, there's a lot of, many people you talk to with CFS are really good at hiding it, because whenever you get in public, like if I'm doing the podcast, like right now, I'm all jacked up on adrenaline.
Yeah.
And it helps me overcome it. And so I can just sort of like, I can become the energy that I need to be, and then I'll crash later. It's
ladies and gentlemen of the board, you heard it here. You heard it here. We need to boost for Tiny Tim.
Here's your cue to boost. You know you want to.
Tens of thousands of dollars to help his crippled leg. He's walking with a stick.
I need a new crutch. It's like the stick.
Dave Jones, I love you. I love you. I will do.
He's digging into my armpit.
I will do a podcast with you any day. Okay. Taking a breath. Hey, congratulations to Breeze, who now have included Boostagrams. Yes. I had a great, this is really cool. So I see the announcement. I think actually Roy pinged me. Boostagrams. All right. So I get the new, I'm on Graphene OS. I get the new version, and I go for a Boostagram, and it just says message. You know, I'm missing who to send it to. I'm missing a change in amount. And I was so jarred. It was almost like, remember when Podverse first came out with Boost and there was no confetti? And it was like, oh, no, there's no jizz. This is confetti's not happening. We're not spraying sats everywhere.
Well, okay, this is also a problem with Castomatic. Now, Franco needs to hear this too. I know this is hard. It's not easy on iOS. But Franco, you've got to put the confetti in there. It's the brand, man.
Yeah.
Have you used Castomatic? No, you're on
iOS.
No, I'm not on iOS. On Castomatic, you hit the boost, and it just pops up a dialogue that says boost sent with an okay button.
Oh, no.
That's not acceptable.
Oh, no. This is, we need to strip him of his compatibility sticker.
Take his podcast license away.
He's doing it wrong.
Yes. You're not podcasting 2.0 certified.
So here's what I love. So I'm looking at this. I'm like, oh man, this hurts. So I hop on, a message, with Roy on Signal. Like, Roy, man, here's what's going on. Now, what you got to know about Breeze, these are traditional software development cycles. These guys have cycles. I don't know if they've worked together before, but they're very structured in their approach and very structured in product. I think Roy is really a professional product manager. Mm. At least that's what he's doing. In this case, that's what he's doing. And he's doing a very, very good job, because he also does, you know, all the Telegram. He's on the GitHub, so he gets all the feedback, and he's kind of that loop, and he has the perfect personality for it too.
Oh, yeah.
And so I say to him, hey, ma'am, I'm missing the amount. And, you know, we had this previously when they first launched with Boost. You know, also was you couldn't set the amount. It was increments of 100. Mm-hmm. I think it's really important, because numerology is often a part of the message. It's almost like the subject line. And he was like, well, you know, we're going to wait and see what feedback we get. I said, well, should I open an issue on the GitHub? I said, you know, and then I sent him a couple of Boostagram messages. I copy and pasted stuff we got in, including one, which I'm sure we will discuss today, which was a large Boostagram.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, dude, just look at the numbers, look at why it's important, and then tell me that that doesn't make sense. And what I love about Roy is he said, no need to open an issue.
I got you.
Now, I don't think I have him convinced about the boostagram to all. And by the way, that is confusing to many, but no one seems to care. Everyone seems to like it. So in the midst of all this, Roy was on, what's the name of the podcast he was on?
Closing the Loop.
Which I was not subscribed to, but I am now. I dig that.
Good show.
Very good show, and a very refreshing reminder of Breeze, their take, and how they are approaching the internet. Not like they are Web 3.0, but they want to facilitate everything with a payment system. So kind of going the opposite direction of what a lot of other people are doing. It is, in fact, I'm very happy that the boostagram, because even that he sees as not the way forward, but he integrated it to, you know, because that's just what podcasting 2.0 has presented, and I appreciate that. I heard that he's doing live, and I'm going to translate what he said. He's going to create OnlyFans for the Lightning Network, but it will be completely open, so anybody can use it that way or in any other way. So one-to-many live video streaming with streaming Satoshis. My hope is that we can integrate that with the namespace spec, because that's a lot of work that he won't have to think about. Because he a typical Breeze, they want to do everything open protocols, open source. And so I'm hoping that, you know, our solution will fit into what they're thinking there.
I don't see why I wouldn't. I mean,
because there's a disconnect. This is where the disconnect is. They are not in the Mastodon active. You know, it's their culture of Bitcoin is more Telegram. And so they don't even know that how far we are with ActivityPub and messaging. Breeze is going to integrate with Matrix.
That wouldn't stop them from, that wouldn't stop them from the live OnlyFans type.
Oh no, thing. No. It's two separate things. Yeah. It's two separate things. Okay, but we're doing ActivityPub comments. That's the path we're on, clearly. And, right. And I think we'll see an implementation soon, or there is an implementation. That's coming, where Matrix is just different. You know, it's solving a different issue. I don't think that works necessarily for us. So anyway, my point is that, you know, it's so beautiful to have these things kind of come together and meld. And in the midst of all this, Roy mentioned something about the company, and I verified it with him. And since they implemented podcasting 2.0, they have made in fees, mind you, they take 5%, about a Bitcoin.
An entire Bitcoin?
An entire Bitcoin. He was going to get me the precise information, but he said somewhere between 0.5 and 1, but he thinks it's closer to 1.
Jeez,
I believe that is without network fees.
That's a lot of jack. I mean, that tells me that 5% may be the magic number for apps.
First of all, I don't know of a single person complaining about it. Now they have an outstanding app. They're doing this app. Breeze is really quite a piece of work. So I don't know if everyone values every podcast app, if the people using it are valuing it as a podcast app or as a Swiss Army knife of Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. But I would like to say to our app developers, and really anybody, I have three rules of business. And most app developers I know always violate number two. So the three rules are: don't run out of money. Go borrow it while you still have some. When you have no money, it's the worst time to go find money. Two, here it is, do not negotiate against yourself. And three, if you don't want to do something, raise the price. And this negotiating against yourself is something I've seen throughout my entire life. I've done it. It's very hard. You put yourself into all. It's value for value. By definition, is negotiation against yourself when you first start to do it. oh my God, I'm begging for money. Change your words, change your world. Hey, you're producing this show. Step up. You don't ask, you don't get.
Right.
And so, you know, it's still a negotiation as to what you want to ask for your services. But holy crap. I mean, that's a business.
Mm-hmm.
That's a business. That can be a full-time. And I think that, you know, Breeze is focusing on a lot of different things. If they were only podcasting 2.0 and they were integrating the video, that could be their business outside of all the other things they do. I'm not saying they should by any means, but, you know, think about what can be done.
Well, you know, I had a similar conversation with Mitch in Nashville. We were just doing some napkin math about value for value and sats and all that kind of thing. Now, I mean, Breeze has a little bit heavier user base because of its Bitcoin, the Bitcoin draw there. But I mean, even let's just say at 5% and you're bringing in, you know, I don't know, well, 500, 1,000. You know,
before you embark on that, just one little piece of data. What is not true is that you need lots of users of your app to make good money. That is not true. And our daily node report that we get, which shows the which shows our earnings for the day or on Sunday for the week on podcastindex.org, shows that oftentimes we make more money in our fees from Boostagrams with far less transactions on certain apps. In fact, I can probably point towards types of people who might use a certain type of app who actually will boost more. Mm-hmm. So it's really about the app, I think, about the experience that attracts people who use it in a certain manner. So you don't have to be the number one guy on the block with users to make a decent living. Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
I agree. And that kind of fits with what I was saying is we were thinking, okay, let's just say baseline, you can make $500 a month at 5% from streaming sats. That may not sound like a lot, but then what you've done is you've maybe covered your infrastructure cost, and now all of your Apple subscription, annual subscription payments for your app that people subscribe to, that's all gravy at that point. Like you can make,
Dave, even if the Dave, numbers Dave, aren't huge. Hold on, let me take you back. You don't need $500 a month. All you needed was that $150 to get that tag renewed. Your podcast audience would have boosted that to you.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the scenario.
Yeah, because once you've got the flow there, you can just, I mean, people can boost straight to your app. And if they know what you need, people will step up and they'll help and they'll do it.
And I'm predicting to you now, and I have a very annoying habit of saying things are going to happen and then it takes 10 years. But I am predicting for you, the way forward is not on mass media. That is not the trend. It's hard to admit it. The ratings are, network television is losing ratings left and right. The ratings company Nielsen, in fact, is under attack because the networks don't like how low the numbers are that they report. They've lost their certification. Nielsen, the ratings company, has lost their certification because they, you know, they reported 6 to 10% lower ratings than was fair according to the networks during the pandemic, and now they're all moving towards +3 numbers and video on demand numbers and YouTube numbers. They are changing right before our very eyes the very definition of success in order to hop on the Silicon Valley bandwagon, which is, oh, you watch the video for 3 seconds? That's a view.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pay up, advertiser. That's what they're doing.
So Nielsen is bogus, but YouTube has more accurate numbers.
Exactly. But they want that. They want that. Again, I remind us that there was no outrage over a 27% dip in the numbers on podcasting. There was no outrage because, it's just because Apple auto-downloaded. I mean,
The numbers were more accurate.
Yeah, the numbers, exactly, were more accurate than ever. Now, that's been extrapolated, and it doesn't matter. The game is over. It's just over. Advertising has a place, and it doesn't seem to be in podcasting that can take it to any kind of scale without massive compromise. Every single podcast network in the world has a division or is building out or is doing exclusively podcasting for corporate clients.
Yes.
Even the swanky new guys on the scene that Cridlin interviewed, oh, we're going to create great content for podcasts. People can monetize. No, they are creating things for corporations, which is the same that happened with blogs, which is the same what happened with websites. It's always the same. We all come out, we sell stuff to, oh, we'll make it sound authentic. We understand the hip new audience. Short-lived strategy. And the answer is we have, and in fact, we do, I'm going to say, use the word, your podcast is a pod. The pod is around the podcast. It is inclusive of the people who are participating in the podcast through multiple feedback channels. And collectively, you live in that pod. And whether that's a tribe or whatever you want to call it, and these pods are like bubbles, and sometimes two bubbles connect and they meld, and then there's crossover, and maybe you're part of a bigger bubble. It's like the Freedom Raft in Snow Crash, if anyone actually read the book. That everyone can talk about metaverse.
I don't know how I feel about your use of the word pod. I'm very conflicted inside.
I know. I do this to throw you off balance, Dave, just to see if you're still listening.
Total success.
So a big thing that I loved was the leaderboard of Boostagrams. Who was doing this? Because this blew me away. I hadn't even considered this as an idea.
Oh, you're talking about Amboss?
Yes.
Amboss.space. Yeah. So what we did there was they had this leaderboard that's hooked into just standard Lightning messages where you post a message back to their Lightning address, their pub key. And it's that WhatsApp style message, that same thing that like Sphinx uses. And so you post that in a TLV, and then whoever has, you know, sends the higher amount, they move up the message board. So they're like on top. It's like king of the hill. And then, so
I love this.
I was like, well, you've got a whole group of podcast apps out here that can send key send. So why don't, so what I did was I went in there in the index and created a dummy podcast called Amboss leaderboard or billboard or something like that. Mm-hmm. You can find it in the index. So then if you pull it up in your podcast app and boost it with a boostagram, it shows up on their, on their leaderboard.
How do I spell Amboss?
A-M-B-O-S-S.
Amboss.space, you said?
Yeah. I think the podcast is called like,
oh no, I was just wanting to see there. I want to see the website first.
It's right there on the bottom. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I see it. Oh, the key send billboard.
Yeah. Yeah. Key send billboard. That's it.
Oh, that's very cute. Yeah. So no, but this idea, I mean, is you can take this so far with donations, you know, for certain levels of recognition, for historical, you know, I was here. Here's my proof that I was a part of this show, you know, in 1989.
It's what we've been saying since the beginning, is once you have programmable money,
the gate is open.
It's you open that Stargate, man. It's you can't, there's nothing, you can do all kinds of crazy stuff. You can see on here on the leaderboard, it's got this is a boost from Podfriend. And there's another one, testing from Podfriend. It's awesome.
Also, I wanted to congratulate Stephen B.
Yes.
It worked. We successfully used the CurioCaster RSS generator for the previous episode. He actually had a midstream fix a couple days later for the white spaces in the show notes, which I changed and re-uploaded. But the point is, it went well. It went smoothly. It went very fast. I felt so comfortable that after 3.5 hours of no agenda, and that's just the podcast, forget the getting up at 5, I felt comfortable enough to publish yesterday's no agenda episode through the RSS generator, which, by the way, that is a big leap of faith. I'll have you know, because a lot of shit happens when you screw up the no agenda feed, there's a lot of social media to deal with and a lot of emails. All meant as helpful.
How much? All meant as helpful. How much? How did you get any feedback at all, or was it seamless?
Was completely seamless. Here's a few things that I noticed. Well, one just on the, because I love the whole process, and of course this is a desktop. I realized that I had to upload my image, since we do a new image every single time, because that just copy, when you create a new episode, you can copy the previous contents. And there was mm-hmm. there was some UX stuff that screwed me up, and it screwed up some other things with chap. It doesn't matter. That's part of the testing process. So I had to actually paste in a new URL, but then immediately that picture shows up in the editor interface. So I felt really comfortable that I'd done it right. You know, that's like those little feedback things. Mm-hmm. And I've been, you know, Dvorak and I even got, you know, an image for him for the first person tag. Although that, you know, that, as I understand now, those don't really show up if they're at the episode level. So we need that at the feed level. It was copy paste for the show notes. You know, there's just a little extra setup because we hadn't set up the person tag, et cetera. And it was good to go. Now I output the file and, you know, I renamed it and I opened it up. I just double checked it. This whole process was much faster than it usually takes on the Freedom Controller, because a lot of it was already pre-filled out. Because you know, it just whatever it was easier. Maybe it's easier to make for me to make mistakes in the outline. I'm not quite sure. It also has sections, you know. So the Freedom Controller outline is just one big outline. All the sections are there, and you change all the values. And this is like, okay, here's the show notes section. Now you're done with that. You go to the next one. You know, so you're kind of going in a checklist fashion, which is good for, you know, crazy helicopter pilots like me. What I realized, and this is where I congratulate Stephen B, is I am now completely dependent upon CurioCaster's RSS generator. For I have now skipped an episode in the Freedom Controller. If his server is down, if it's not responding, I cannot post an episode. So I hereby also demand that we put a 5% split to CurioCaster in this feed.
In the podcast in the 2.0 feed?
Yeah, because he's not taking it. He's taking his 1% or whatever. He is now a critical part of this show.
He's infrastructure.
He is infrastructure. If it breaks, what are we going to do? I mean, I can't create the new episode. We're going to have to go to Freedom Controller, cut and paste the new. No, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. No, once you skip an episode, you're in there.
Hosed. So I have put the future and safety and security of my business partners and my family, including two stepdaughters and family in Indiana and Chicago, in your hands, Stephen B.
This is how the vortex works, Stephen.
Mm-hmm.
You're not being sucked into the vortex.
I also think it's a seminal moment. More people than ever, I think it was a Verge article, are talking about self-hosting for the very reasons we took the first, you know, portion of the show to discuss. Yeah. People mm-hmm. are moving away from the established networks, and I will just say it again: they're moving into pods. but the Mastodon server is a perfect example. Mastodon is a self-hosting, even though it's, you know, we kind of have a solutions provider for this, but it's not a Silicon Valley venture-funded network. Now, we still could actually have problems with Masto.host, who hosts on podcast index.social.
Because, pretty solid so far, though.
No, I mean, they... I've sent people there and said, start your thing over there. And then it's like, oh, no, we don't accept anyone who wants to federate with no agenda. No agenda social.
Oh,
because
really?
Yeah, it's just, you know, because they don't want wrong think on their servers. Yeah. I'm not too worried about now. So noagendasocial.com is, you know, is self-hosted. That's Matt Hamilton. Right. A podcast index is a masto.host, and I don't ever expect any problems, but it could be anything. You know, someone could just say, I think this is wrong what this person is saying, and I think it's bad and it should be reported, or someone, and also there's lots of reporting goes on. That's not done. But if you're self-hosted, then at least they can't take away your community, your pod. But you can easily get blocked by other instances, forcing people to find yet. Basically, Silicon Valley is now recognized in the network known as the internet as a bug. And we're just routing around it. There's no problem.
It's a firewall that you have to punch through with a NAT traversal.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And like that's, I mean, Tor.
Yep.
Tor is a stupid idea from his standpoint.
Dude, it's undervalued.
Of privacy?
No, it's undervalued. I'll tell you why it's undervalued for me. I couldn't for the life of me get any ports open properly on my sub.
Yes.
My natted Bitcoin node, my Raspy Blitz. But boy, does it work with Tor.
Yep. That's what I'm saying. Like, if you're trying to use Tor to, like, you know, get away from, be all shady and get away from the government, you know, you got another, you're an idiot.
You got another thing coming at the end point.
Yeah. But if you need to set up your stuff without using something stupid like UPnP, Tor's your guy.
Yep. Totally.
There's no ports. There's nothing. It just works, man.
It's beautiful.
You can run your own servers, your own sites, everything from it. It's awesome.
Yeah. It's not the fastest in the world, but it gets the job done. Gets the job done.
Our interview with Oaken from last, that was awesome.
A lot of people commented on that. Yeah. A lot of people commented on that. I was just smiling from ear to ear when I was, because I listened to the show again, because I know I listened to most of our shows, I guess.
Do you re-listen to it? Because I listen to our shows too.
Yeah. I'll listen to No Agenda for a bit, mm-hmm. or to see how, you know, how something came across, you know, and thank you, Dreb, for your chapter work. Yeah. Mo Fax, I cannot listen to again. Because that's, you know, I have my own takeaway, and it's just like, I just want to leave it where it is. Mm-hmm. But this show, yeah, I'll listen all the way through. And so, it was so fun to hear him say, I mean, when he didn't really know about boostergrams, and then he's just like, you guys are magicians.
He's like, he's Gandalf and Dumbledore.
He cracked me up, man.
My favorite part, personally, was when you called out the German people for their genocide in Namibia.
It's true.
I know, but it's funny.
Who knew? Who knew that the German genocide test was in Namibia? You know, so we got a guest coming on. I'm like, oh, I think. Well, here's my standard for anything in Africa. I will search for name of African country plus China. That's where I start.
Yeah.
So if you want to know what happened in Guinea this week, you know, where all of a sudden there's a military coup with a guy trained by the CIA. Gee, and then you see a very rare moment. G says, "Hey, man, you know, this is not cool. This is our guy," because they completely own Guinea. It's like, oh. Anyway,
that's like a Middle Eastern name of Middle Eastern country plus pipeline. It's the same, you know, it's just standard fare.
Yeah, that's how you do it. That's how you learn about the world. That's your history lesson.
Do we want to do some boostergrams?
Thank some people. Yeah. You want to do boostergrams first, and then we'll do the cuck bucks. This is the value for value feedback loop, and it's getting more fun every single day, particularly with boostergrams. And people are switching from PayPal to boostergram, and really appreciate that. So you can go to podcastindex.org, go down the bottom, there's a donate button, the red one, you click on that. Or even in this app right now, if you're using a podcasting 2.0 app, there's a funding link. I don't say this one enough. You just tap on that where it says, I think in like Podverse, it's a little money coin dollar thing. And you tap on that, it'll open right up and you can send us your fiat fund coupons. But we love the new boostergrams and want to see as many people as possible switch. Who do we have to thank today, Jay? Dave, Jave. I said Jave. Jave. Yeah, I don't know why. What's wrong with me?
Let's see. Well, Jadam. We have Mike. We have Mike Newman. Mike, he is the keeper of the Teams repo that gives proper credit to everybody for their contributions to Podcasting 2.0.
Ah, yes. Yes. Thank you for doing that.
Mike Newman. You know what I've got a problem with? I don't think I do it all the time, but I have a problem with smacking. I'll start that way, and I need to stop.
It's really more a, it's a, you can remove that with your processing.
Okay.
Do you hear it that much on the show?
You don't hear me then? Okay.
No, I filter all that out. In fact, you sound like a woman on the show.
We can talk later. Mike Newman gave us 77,777 sats.
This was the one I showed Roy.
And he's like, oh yeah, that numerology thing, that's pretty good.
Well, but truly, it didn't matter. It wouldn't have mattered if it was 777 or 77 or this astronomical number. But it was beautiful because it had just come in that day. I say, let me just grab something from today's batch. Oh, look what I found. What does Mike say?
Mike says, Adam wants these briefs, so this is a PC 2.0 birthday booster slam that launches me over the t-shirt threshold. Phase 4 namespace looks hot. Thank you for your courage. Love is lit.
Oh, man. Thank you so much, David Newman. I love that. I love that. And also, congratulations to the Lightning Network.
Yes.
I mean, that's
a decent sized boost.
That's not a micro payment. You know, that's a baller boost if we ever saw one.
Let's see. He sent in some accounting here, and he said that was $36 at the time he boosted.
Yeah,
that's decent. That's a big boost.
That's a badass boost.
Yes,
and a t-shirt on the way.
Yeah, man. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Let's see. Tell me if you think this is the case. It looks like all the Breeze boostergrams are anonymous. They don't have names with them.
Yeah, they don't, because there's no name to put in. Yep. Gosh,
I guess you just need to put that in the message.
I missed that one. Oh, crap. Something. Well, but that's going to open up a whole new can of worms.
Well, just know that if you're boosting through Breeze and you want credit.
Yeah, you got to put it in the message.
Put in the message, yeah.
Yeah.
Anonymous 1,000 sats says boostergram number 2 because the first one was only 100 sats.
Yeah, thank you. Now, there you go. You did not negotiate against yourself.
No. Another Breeze Anonymous 1,000 sats. Oh, this is not anonymous because it says love from Satoshis.stream.
Oh, Satoshis.stream, who opened not one, but two. They have 2.5 million sat channels to us.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Those are big channels.
Although I think
what big channels you have, Satoshi.
I know, right? But and I think that they've pushed a lot of that first one to our end. So, you know, we're basically balanced.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because they give us a piece of when people are taking it out, they give us a percentage. That's where they help us. And that's really appreciated.
Yeah. That service is getting tight. They're doing good stuff. See, anonymous from Breeze for 100 sats. Oh, this must be the aforementioned 100 sat mistake. And the message is, I fat fingered this. Okay. Let's see. Aerostatica, he who invented the term boostergram.
Yes.
Gave us 10,000 sats.
Ho ho.
Boost!
Well, you'd expect the booster gram father, the booster dad, you'd expect him to, you know, to know what a true boost is.
Oh yeah,
that's a boost. Like, a 10K is a boost, baby.
Well, I mean, you get to say what is a podcast and what is not, and he gets to determine what a booster gram is.
And that's what's right. Not. And so it's all copacetic.
Yeah. I had to pull over and boost because some guy in Africa just said the word boostergram and I'm psyched about it.
Yeah, of course. You did that, bro.
Boost!
You created that. Isn't that fun? It's like the first confetti from which Sphinx did first.
No, oh, yeah. You do it and it's like, ooh,
And I just see it everywhere, you know, it makes you feel good, makes you feel part of a pod.
Stop. Auburn Citadel,
my system,
gave us 49,049 sats.
Holy crap.
Boost.
Thank you so much.
Auburn Citadel checking in for the board meeting. Boost.
Nice.
Boost.
What do we got here? Our buddy Kyron Down from the Mere Mortals podcast. Go listen to that show.
Great appearance, Dave.
Oh, thank you.
Great. You're on an interview tour. I was not informed because I typically like to drive the campaign bus, but okay. You went on a full-on, you've been on the Buzzcast, you were on the Mere Mortals. The Mere Mortals was really good.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it was fun. Kyron's a great guy.
Seriously, very, very, it was, yeah, you have such a good demeanor about you.
Thank you.
And you were very complimentary of me, so again, a great appearance.
Boost incoming. Kyron gave us 1,123 sats, and he says he always has really good notes. He says, "Oaken was such a blast, amazing energy. Is there any sort of way to notify or maybe emphasize to a new podcaster enabling value for value on podcasterwallet.com to alert them about the power of boostergrams? I actually sent Oaken a boostergram a month ago, and like you mentioned, it's nice to have that loop closed so that I, as a listener, have a good assurance that my messages are going through. Great to have you back after the break, and congrats on reaching the 2.0 anniversary."
Thank you. Now, we opened a channel to Oaken. Did he get the script? Is he squared away on the boostergram script, so he's got all that?
Well, I sent it to him, and he said he's not real great at Python, but he would tell me if he needs help.
Okay.
And I haven't heard back, so I'm going to assume.
Because I also want to put...
he's good.
I don't even know if I can do this. Can we go? I wonder if in the CurioCaster RSS generator, can I go back and edit a previous episode? Because I'd like to put him in the episode level block.
Oh man, I got no clue.
How about this? How about just? I'm sorry to interrupt, but for today, why don't we put just as a test to see how it works? We'll put CurioCaster. Episode level split. Yeah. If we have episode level splits, do I have to put everybody in there? Otherwise they don't get paid, or does it always look at the default two and, you know, like kind of the way everything works in RSS?
It's a full override.
Full override.
It's only going to look, it's not going to like merge it with the channel.
Okay. Hold on. So if I go to, he was on episode, was that 52?
Yes.
Okay, so and if I just say turn on RSS editor, hold on, let me see if this works.
I can always edit it by hand and put
value block in there. I can edit it right here. I can go back and edit any episode. Stephen B. It's
beautiful.
You are an electrician like none.
It's welcome to the vortex, Stephen.
Oh yeah, he's screwed. You're so screwed. We know what this is. We've been through this. Yes. We know this joy. Hey, that's great. Okay. So I can go back and put that in. Should we try episode level blocks today? So we do, we'll repeat everything we do for the full override and add in CurioCaster as an extra Benny for the 5% as a test. And we can add them at the top later.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. Let's do it.
All right. Cause it could screw everything up.
It doesn't matter.
You know, I'm just saying.
No agenda. It's your other show.
Oh, it's my.
It's that other show. That other show is MoFax. This is that other
show. Other show. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's see. Beavenour. Beavenour. Beavenour?
Sounds right.
It was 10,000 sats. He just says, here's some sats. Here's some sats to stack.
Thank you very much. Hold on a second. I got to do a call out.
And now, as the French say, it is time for le boost.
Not having enough foreigners boost us. You got to talk to them in their own language.
That's all they understand.
Mm-hmm. Also works in Iran.
Does it?
French? Yeah, French. It's Africa, everywhere. Oh, yeah, the French, man.
They
get a pass on that whole colonialism thing, but we know what's going on. They still control the money of six African countries.
Yeah, it's like it never happened.
Or it's not nothing to see here.
CIMAC, PSIMAC, CIMAC.
CIMAC,
That's what I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. PSIMAC. 1,000 sats, and he says, adding to my monthly donation, # no tip.
Yay, exactly. It's not tipping. Not tipping. Go podcasting!
Bamazi, B-M-A-S-I, gave us 333 sats. And he says, welcome back. I missed last week and checked over and over, hoping it was just late. BMAS.
And I want everyone to pay attention how disruptive that was. We've been so consistent with this show. Very proud of our consistency. This one just really, really didn't work for a whole bunch of reasons, which I think we should just blame on Dave's health. You know, we can just now it's out in the open. Oh man, sorry, Dave's health. We couldn't do the show.
It's just a bad health day.
But I think everyone felt off kilter. Mm-hmm. You felt weird, like something's wrong, and. So this whole idea of podcasting, I just want to reiterate the thing I say every single time. Consistency is key. People adjust their lives. Now, you may put it up on a Wednesday and people may not listen to it until Thursday morning. But if you shift, everything shifts. And people get, I mean, it's like Orange Pill. I love the Orange Pill podcast. They're doing the F Elon tour. And now I rarely listen to the Wednesday one, but because I like it when they have guests. And so now they've mixed it up. Sometimes they skip the Sunday, which was horrible because Sunday is the guest day, and that's why I want to decompress and listen to something else after no agenda. And it's either not been there or the Wednesday shows up on Friday, and I'm messed up and I'm upset.
I mean, I'm the same way with pod news. It's sometimes if I wake up,
if it's not there, routine,
yeah. It's not there. Like if I wake up early and pod, and I'm like, oh wait, it's like 30 minutes early.
That
like,
happens to me on Saturdays. I wake up. Where's pod news? Saturday.
Yeah, because I've got the whole routine. I boost 2,112 sats every episode at the very beginning, and I'm like, I'm just lost. I'm like, what am I doing?
Oh no. I only stream one sat a minute as punishment. I'm one sat. Oh, yeah. No, I'm totally one sat a minute. So you get three sats, but I'm a booster. So I'm fair. If something's good, then I'm going to boost you. I'm going to boost you 1,000 or 500, and I'll do that a couple times. But otherwise, no.
One sat.
In fact, it costs somebody more for me to do that.
Someone's he doesn't even get anything.
It doesn't even go. It doesn't actually leave the station.
Yeah, it stops on Ellen Pay. Okay, Bamazi sent another one, 333 sats. He says yes to stealthing value for value. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's all the boostergrams.
Well, we really appreciate the boostergrams. This segment is starting to be good, and it's just and here you go. This is part of what we were missing, and it's not even about the money or the sats or the. It's about the loop being closed. This is cool.
Take that,
Brookings lady.
Brookings lady. Her next article, why the dark net of internet programmable money and podcasting is evil and needs to be stopped.
That's right. And then they'll have pictures of us with black bars over our eyes.
No, with wizard hats.
And Dreb Scott will just have his actual profile picture.
these two internet money wizards are the face of the dark web.
There'll be a quote Oaken from Namibia says these guys are magicians. I mean, it's perfect. I can see it now. Okay, to the fiat fund coupons.
Fiat fund coupons, $100 from Thomas Sullivan Jr.
Does he already have a t-shirt?
He says I'm a size large.
Right on. Thank you. Thank you, Thomas.
Yeah. He says, thank you to Adam and Dave. Go podcasting.
Yay. Oh, misfire.
No, sorry. No.
Go podcasting! There. Yeah, well, there was one in the chamber already. Sorry.
Did you stovepipe it? What else? Oh, yeah, we got monthly donors here. Let's see. By the way, with me, some of these monthly donors never like send us any messages or anything. If anybody on here needs us to pimp some stuff for you, I mean, let us know.
Yeah, please do. The monthlies are so important. The monthlies really keep the servers running.
I try to give, you know, info about each person if I know, but some of these people I just don't know if you got stuff to do, so let us know. David Midas, good old David, gave us $10. Fun Fact Friday podcast, good show.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph Maraca gave us $5. Cameron Rose, $25. Jeremy New, $5. Greg Thomas, $5. Lauren Ball, $24.20. Podverse gave us $50.
Mm.
Podverse, there. James, if you're listening, get with Mitch about the accessibility stuff that he's done in Podverse.
You know, I sent this on to the three awesome blind guys. This is so important. I've had deep contact with the I forget what the politically correct term is these days, but anyway, the blind community, as I always say, you gooky eyed mofos, they love me.
Yeah,
but for 18 years, you know, it's like these were the first people, like, oh my god, a podcast by itself enriching the world of audio for people with vision issues. Is you have no idea how big a revolution that was. An underreported revolution, a revolution.
You were on their show, right?
I'm going back to podcasting 1.0. When that happened, it's like, you know, this was we had books on tape. You know, that's where we were at. Now we had shit to listen to that would just come in, and so a lot of time was spent by some very selfless teams, and I'm pretty sure Andrew Grummet. There's probably iPod or Lemon, but they really put in a lot of accessibility so the screen readers will work. It's so often forgotten. These days, actually, it's a violation of the American with Disabilities Act if you don't have accessibility in your app. Mm-hmm. But when I was on the Three Blind Guys show, which I don't know them, they're three different blind guys. I don't know these blind guys. I know other blind guys and gals too. But I completely understand where they're coming from, and you know I'm also an auditory person, so we get along really well. And they were talking about this, and so when I didn't even know Mitch was doing this, but when he said that he kind of relayed the story of how utterly the whole app failed with a screen reader, and that he just said about going to fix that is hugely appreciated. And what I need from him really is a really cool, good tweet that explains this so I can blast it out. But I sent it on to the three blind guys, and I hope they got in touch with them to give some feedback, because they're podcasters. They understand this stuff, and so they can close the loop, hopefully.
Well, I got to know Mitch really well in Nashville. I got to spend a lot of time with him, and this is stuff that's close to his heart. He's just a socially aware guy, and really has done a lot of stuff. And
is he doing this full time now? Is this his full time job? Has he made this step?
No, he's not full time. He's still got a day job, but
him the closest though, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Raise your fees.
Yeah, seriously, 5%.
Look at this. Look what you did. Mm-hmm. Look what you did, man. For blind people.
No, it's amazing.
Look what you've done for the poor blind people, for Tiny Tim with no eyes. You have done a great thing.
That's me.
Here.
No, I'm sorry. Tiny Tim. I've got the crutch.
Sorry, I can't hear and I can't see. I got the double trouble. That's worth five, man. That's worth 5 points.
5 points.
Take 5 points off the top, Mitch.
Christopher Cheriburk,
yeah.
Cheriburk gave us $10. Mitch Downey coming in a second time with $10, and Mike Newman with $10.66. And that he said that will be his last.
Yes,
monthly.
I saw the cancellation come through. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Because do that with the boost, man. Like, tax those channels. Drain my pipe. Okay. I should probably rephrase that, huh?
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. Well, I mean, our end of show mix today from Rolfie is so dirty. And this is a fair, this is just a warning.
Fair warning. Well, fair warning. Actually, we should do, hold on a second. I think I have this. Yeah, I have one of these. This is from, Mo always has me play this.
Trigger warning. Trigger warning. Trigger warning. Your attention, please. Trigger warning has been activated.
Okay, just so you know, we need a tag for that.
Yep, when the mix starts, head out if you can't handle it. All right, I got to get back to work. I got nothing else.
Oh, jeez, yeah, we've been talking way too long. I'm sorry for keeping you busy. This was fun. So on next week's show, I believe we have a special guest who will... now, are we pre-taping the show with him on Monday or something?
Yeah. Me and Melissa will be out of town on Friday next week in a way that there's no way I can do a show. So we're going to have to pre-tape on Monday night.
Right. And we're doing that with our guest who's going to talk about Bitcoin energy usage.
Yeah. Hass McCook from he's down under, and he's an environmental engineer, and he's done a lot of work on Bitcoin energy consumption and emissions. He's pretty much the expert in this, and I can't wait. I mean, like, this is an issue that needs to be discussed because there's a lot of socially aware, environmentally aware people in the in the podcasting world, and they need to understand that a lot of the stuff around Bitcoin's energy usage profile is FUD. And he will be very instrumental in setting some people's minds at ease about that whole thing.
Well, also giving us some information that we can use. The one of the stepdaughters is here. We haven't seen her in 18 months either, so it's really nice to have her.
Good.
Yeah, it's just, and especially for Tina, you know, mom, daughter.
Yeah.
And she's very, very socially aware. She's dabbled a little bit in local politics. They lived in Chicago, now moved to Maine. And she's reading this huge book called Debt, which is the history of debt.
Oh,
so she, yeah. Oh yeah. That's, and I'd sent her the Bitcoin Standard for Christmas, which she still hasn't read, And I said, well, you know, once you finish your debt book, you really should read that. And, you know, so, but she immediately, of course, from her environment milieu says, well, but you know, could any money be sucking up the same amount of electricity as the entire country of Namibia? Mm-hmm. And you know, and so then, you know, my response is, well, you know, okay, so the dirty Bitcoin versus the petrodollar, you know, you can go down that hole forever. Yeah. And you know, and then you say, well, but if you look at it on the grand scale, it's 0.1% of all energy uses. And I can see that's not working. That's not the answer that's going to work.
I like how he, and one of the reasons I contacted him to have him on the show is I like his approach, which doesn't look at energy consumption as much as it looks at emissions output. And that's where you see some drastic differences.
Okay.
And he's qualified to speak to this as an environmental engineer.
Well, he's also Australian. He's also Australian. As we know, they don't say anything wrong. So we can trust
him. That's true. That's true.
Okay. Just a quick congratulations to, I think, Alex. Did he finish up the Podping Hive Writer? I know that's something.
Yeah, I had that on my.
It's kind of probably worth discussing, but we just didn't get to it. I got to get you back to work. So how do we do this? We've never had an end of show mix. Do I do that and then play the end music, or do I play the end music and all the cool wish?
Do the standard ending and then
put it after that. So people can bail if they feel like it.
That's the finish line. They can get out.
Now wait, Rufy also he created cast coverage.
Yeah, cast coverage.
Yeah, cast coverage. Yeah. So Rufy is he's multifaceted, this guy.
He is, yeah.
And always so enthusiastic.
He just pops in with an email like once every 4 months and is like, hey, here's an end of show mix. See ya.
So thank you, Rufy. We need to put him in the value block.
He doesn't have a node.
He doesn't have a node?
No. He just doesn't care.
Dave, it's always a pleasure to do a podcast with you, my friend. And I love doing it here in this beautiful boardroom. Thank you all for building it. And we'll be back on Friday. Take care, Dave.
See you, man.
Please tune in then for another episode of Podcasting 2.0. See you, everybody.
Been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
Oh,
and then you put, so you, yeah. And then every single payment that goes there, you just publish the comment.
Yeah, what would the publishing mechanism be like, though?
It's fucking magic, Dave. I'm surprised you haven't built it yet. Fucking magic, Dave. It's fucking magic, Dave. It's fucking magic, Dave. It's fucking magic, Dave.
You can be the guy. 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 Getting 2 whole sats every minute.
I ran my sphinx dry. I ran my sphinx dry.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Dave. You're a poet.
The publisher registers with a hub. Somebody who wants to get notified when the feed changes also registers as a subscriber on the hub. Podping is essentially a hub. Hub.
I'll boost his ass.
Hub.
Great idea.
Hub.
I'll boost his ass.
And I was like, bleh.
Great idea.
Hub.
I'll boost his ass.
Hub.
Great idea.
Hub.
I'll boost his ass.
And I was like, hub.
Boost!